This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
President Trump says he's clearing the way for the new Biden administration a day after chaos at the U.S. Capitol.
Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem.
Plus, as America deals with record deaths and challenges with vaccine distribution, we'll look at the struggles of vaccination across the ocean.
It's been going quite slowly, and there are a number of different reasons for that.
And why empty department stores may be the place to get your COVID-19 shot. It's Friday, January 8th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is what's news. President Trump acknowledged his 2020 election loss in a video released last night. He said he was outraged by the violence at the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday, adding that tempers must be cooled.
Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power. This moment calls for healing and reconciliation.
Earlier in the day, Vice President Mike Pence confirmed President-elect Joe Biden as the election winner. Capitol Police said one of its officers had died from injuries suffered while physically engaging with protesters. Some officers were also hospitalized. In addition, the head of the Capitol Police and the sergeants at arms for the House and Senate resigned after lawmakers demanded accountability from officials responsible for the security of the complex. We're also reporting the resignation of Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. As we talked about last night, Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao also announced her departure. In the fallout from the riot at the Capitol, companies including Facebook, Shopify, and publisher Simon & Schuster are moving to cut ties with President Trump. A number of companies have fired employees who have been identified on social media as playing a part in the scenes in Washington. Dozens more executives and trade groups denounced the takeover of the Capitol and called for the removal of the president. We get unemployment figures for December later today. Economists are expecting that U.S. employers added 50,000 jobs in December for the unemployment rate to hit 6.8%. Journal Labor Economics reporter Eric Morath puts those numbers in context.
The labor market appeared to stall in December. We saw much greater job creation earlier in 2020, especially over the summer, I should say, and now that's slowed down quite a bit. Economists I've spoke to have said the vaccine rollout is going to be the primary factor that will determine job creation this year. As long as many Americans aren't vaccinated and don't have immunity, they expect to see pretty low demand for services, things like dining out at restaurants, traveling on vacation, going to sporting events or concerts. And of course, those are huge sectors of the economy that employ millions of people.
We take a look at the challenges countries face rolling out the vaccines later in the show.
Ignition. And liftoff.
That's the sound of SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket taking off from Cape Canaveral on its first mission of the year late Thursday night, delivering a Turkish communications satellite into orbit. The launch came on the same day that SpaceX and Tesla chief executive Elon Musk overtook Amazon's Jeff Bezos to become the world's wealthiest person. An 8% rise in Tesla stock on Thursday pushed Musk's net worth to around $195 billion, topping Bezos' wealth by about $10 billion, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. Musk's net worth was roughly $30 billion this time last year. Responding to the milestone on Twitter, Musk tweeted, "How strange. Well, back to work." As As we wrap up this first week of trading of the year, stocks have climbed as both the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 set their first records of 2021. Let's bring in markets columnist Rochelle Teplinski into the conversation. Hi, Rochelle. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same back to you. As we know from our conversations, traders like certainty. And now we're seeing this Democratic power shift. Republican Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia conceded to Democrat Raphael Warnock. How does all of this translate into market growth?
Given that the Democrats are now in control of both houses, the expectations are that we'll see big spending to shore up the economy, probably first on higher emergency relief payments for individuals, but then on more infrastructure spending and the like. So what we've seen yesterday is that shares in banks, semiconductor makers, and consumer discretionary products all rose in both big and small companies. Also, safe haven assets like treasuries, utility stocks, and other big dividend players sold off. So it seems to be sort of a standard inflation trade.
So when we talk about spending, that obviously does raise questions about inflation.
It does indeed. I mean, the higher spending expected from the Democrats is likely to basically increase government debt. So as it became clear that they had won both runoffs in Georgia, we saw treasury yields up over 1% for the first time since March last year. It seems to indicate that inflation is expected ahead, but it's likely it's probably going to be more of a small climb in prices rather than a rapid rise, given the state of the pandemic and the wider economy.
Rochelle Teplinski, have a good weekend.
You too.
Just ahead, the challenges facing vaccine distribution in Europe. We'll get a look at the view from abroad coming up after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
More than 4,000 COVID-19 deaths were reported in the U.S. on Thursday. It's the new highest record of deaths for a single day. This is according to data by Johns Hopkins University. As America deals with delays in COVID-19 vaccine distribution, Europe is facing its own struggles. Early concerns focused on whether enough supply could be produced, but now the actual administration of the shots is going slower than hoped. To find out why, let's go to Paris and the Wall Street Journal's Matthew Dalton. He's been looking into this. Hi there, Matthew.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. Matthew, can you give us an idea of where things stand now in Europe? What are the challenges facing the different governments and their healthcare systems in getting the vaccines out?
Well, I think the challenges are largely the same. In Europe, you've got government-run healthcare systems to a large extent in all countries. They're all going to be facing the same distribution issues with the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, which is the first one that's been approved and the one that's largely being administered at this point. And the main difference is just how the governments have dealt with these challenges and how quickly they've ramped up their vaccination programs. And that has varied pretty widely across Europe. Some of the biggest countries, it's been going quite slowly. And there are a number of different reasons for that.
Well, let's dig into the reasons. What's caused the delays?
To some extent, it has to do with some of the unexpected things that have happened with the surrounding the approval of the vaccine. For example, the European Medicines Agency brought forward its approval date for the vaccine by about a week in response to complaints that the regulators were taking too long to approve it. And that was after the UK and the US had already approved it quite a bit before. So the governments, some of the governments anyway, such as France and the Netherlands and Belgium, they didn't bring forward their vaccination campaign dates to match that. So for example, France started giving vaccines to people 6 days after the European Medicines Agency approval came. And, you know, you saw in the UK and the US, the vaccinations began the next day, pretty much. So there hasn't been that sort of shift from the governments.
In addition to the bureaucracy, what about logistical issues like transporting and storing the vaccines? Any issues there?
In some countries, there have been some issues around storage. For example, in the Netherlands, for some reason, was expecting the AstraZeneca and Oxford vaccine to be approved first. That vaccine has much less onerous distribution and storage requirements than the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, which must be stored at minus 80 degrees Celsius, and it has to be used within days after being thawed. And so what the Dutch prime minister said this week was that they were expecting this other vaccine to come first, and they weren't prepared to roll out the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. So they were kind of caught flat-footed by that. And then Italy, there have been some issues about lack of ultra-cold storage capacity in Italy. But by and large, I would say in France, certainly, the storage has been, you know, there. The vaccines are kind of in place. It's just a question of getting the consent of people, old people, mainly in nursing homes, to receive the vaccine. And that's required some weeks. And French people and politicians are looking around at Germany, you know, hundreds of thousands of people being vaccinated. In the UK, more than 1 million people. In the US, more than 4 million people have been vaccinated. And they're saying, what is wrong with us? Why can't we do this faster?
And finally, Matthew, in some locations, the second dosage of the vaccine is being delayed, but there's some debate about whether that's a good idea.
Yeah, that debate is largely taking place in the UK for the moment, because the hope, the desire is to get the first dose of the two-dose vaccine into as many people's arms as quickly as possible, even when that second dose is not, let's say, sitting around and ready for them. Yeah. And there is data showing that the first dose does give a certain amount of protection to people, a significant amount of protection. However, the clinical trials, Pfizer's clinical trials, and the other clinical trials were done with the doses administered 3 weeks apart. Pfizer says we don't have the data to show what happens when you space them longer apart than that. There's also been a debate about whether you can give the first dose of one vaccine and the second dose of another vaccine. That's something that the UK was considering. And, you know, again, the manufacturers are saying we don't have the data to support you doing that, even if in the clinical judgment of some British physicians, some experts, it would be much better than just waiting.
Matthew Dalton, reporting from Paris. Matthew, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
And finally, Americans are rushing back to Sears, not to shop, but for shots. Health officials and mall owners across the U.S. are using closed Sears department stores to help administer COVID-19 vaccines to millions of people. For public health officials, using old Sears stores and other struggling or abandoned malls as vaccine sites was a no-brainer. We get more from our reporter, Sarah Krause.
So these are sites with vast floor plans. They have huge parking lots, and they typically have really close proximity to highways. So they tended to be in the center of communities, and they offer big spaces where you can set up areas for check-in, for vaccine administration, for observation, while maintaining social distance. So the same appeal that drew shoppers and retailers are now attractive to public health officials and those who, you know, need to file in at a pretty steady clip to get their vaccines.
And that's what's news for Friday. We're back tonight with a new show. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Have a good weekend, and thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.